It's a real privilege. I met your pastor just a little over a year ago, and we bumped into each other occasionally from time to time. He's a bunch of laughs, so it's obviously great fun being part of this house. And it's obvious that it's a happening place. You can tell it's a, you know, God calls us to be men and women of impact, of influence, and you can. It's been amazing just to listen even to what's been happening recently. 76, and that's awesome. That is just awesome. Plus the 400 or so throughout the city over the last week. So amazing. Just want to commend you for that. Absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal. So, as Pastor Gordon's already said, my heart this morning is to share with you about the incredible work of Hope for Justice, an anti-human trafficking charity. If we can get it up at the back here, you'll see it. Our mission is we exist to bring an end to modern-day slavery by preventing exploitation, rescuing victims, restoring lives, and reforming society. And I'm going to unpack that just a little bit in a minute. But first, if we could just, I'll give you a little glimpse, if you will, into my journey and how I got here and who I am. I would say, first and foremost, I am a son of the Most High God, like most of you here, and that is my greatest honor. I stand before you by his grace, and it is my honor to be known first and foremost as his son, and it's all because of Jesus. He is my king, he is your king, and that is why we're here today. So I would say that in the first place, but I would also say that God has kind of put on my heart throughout my life the desire to rescue. So I'm massively blown away, actually, by just hearing of those that have, you know, prayed that prayer and you've introduced to the great God that we serve. And I just love that. So I know that we can all relate so much to that. There is no greater honor than to lead someone to the knowledge that there is a God and he does love you and he wants to have that relationship with you. So that is phenomenal. We can all relate to that. I should say I've got a picture of my family. God bless me with a beautiful wife. You can see her just sitting from the right there. I've punched way above my weight there. and he blessed me with four kids. But we were able to rescue our fourth child, who would have otherwise begun his life because of substance and drug abuse. So that was a privilege. We adopted Joel when he was only two. He's the guy on the right-hand side. So yeah, that's a picture of my guys. I'll not go much more into that. I also have the privilege of working full-time as an air ambulance paramedic. I fly all over Scotland rescuing people in time-critical emergencies. It's all by his grace, though. So we'll applaud Jesus for that one. Thank you, God, for your strength and help in that area. But I have the privilege of flying around rescuing people in time-critical emergencies. But most recently, I've had the honour of being a part of the work of Hope for Justice, rescuing victims in probably what is the darkest of circumstances I've ever seen this side of heaven. I'm able to bring them. I had the honour of speaking to Bill just a little earlier, and he said, you know, the greatest key, I believe, in following Jesus is to walk in restoration. That is his heart, to restore. And just to see people not just rescued, but restored and brought back to a place of trust again in humanity and so on. So, yeah. Most people, when I talk about human slavery, they think of it as something of the past, an evil that's been abolished and safely consigned to history. But the sad facts are we actually have more slaves alive today than have ever been. It's estimated there's approximately 24 million and 13,000 of them are believed to be here in the UK. And I believe those to be very conservative figures given by the Home Office. Human trafficking is basically the illegal movement of people with the purpose of it's just horrible. It can be anything from forced labor, commercial sexual exploitation, just domestic servitude. We see it in all sorts of different ways. It is a horrific crime that people suffer at a level that, as I said, I have the honour of flying to some of the most traumatic circumstances in Scotland. But the people that we rescue from modern-day slavery have suffered at a level I've never seen up until about a few years ago. And as a result, it is my heart, and it is, I know, the heart of God, that we would be salt and light, because, you know, we're better do we shine, but in the darkest of places, do you know? And so, yeah, we as a charity are making a massive difference. We have a home and away strategy. It is a global problem, and we're tackling it in numerous nations. We're here in the UK. We are based also in Norway, the United States of America, Cambodia, Uganda, Vietnam, Ethiopia, just to name a few. And we are making a massive difference. Our strategy is simple but very effective. As I've said in the first place, we start where we want to prevent it. So we reach out to those that are women, street children in some of the most vulnerable places, some of the poorest areas of the world, giving them the tools and the training to stop them in the first place, where we've recognized they're extremely vulnerable to the traffickers. So that's ultimately where we start. But then from there, we go to a place of rescue. And we rescue victims. We employ some, typically the former FBI, if it's America, CID, if we're here, professionals that know how to embed themselves into communities and ultimately recognize the signs of those that have been trafficked, bringing perpetrators to justice, literally kicking the front door down, working within the parameters of the law and with up to 50% of the National Police Force here in the United Kingdom, bringing freedom to those people that have been stuck. That's absolutely awesome. It's a massive part of what we do, but it's not the only part, and it's actually just step one. Because as I've said already, these people suffer trauma like you would never know. So that restoration part is vital. And we have an advocacy team and trauma-trained care individuals who are able to help them from social work departments and counselors and begin that journey with them, taking them through that journey back to reintegration and where they can hope and they can dream again and begin to just start living life as God would have them live. You know, Jesus came to bring us freedom, didn't he? We've been singing it this morning. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. His heart is, when he preached that first sermon in Matthew, he said, you know, I came to bring, proclaim liberty to the captives. Do you know what I mean? Those that are in darkness, to set them free. That is the heart of our God. So the good thing is, we're very, very passionate about that restoration process, and it is a journey. But we also have an advocacy team where we help people through an enormous amount of the legalities, as you could imagine. Some of these traffickers have racked up masses of debt against these people, and there's everything from welfare to housing and all sorts of often language barriers and so on to kind of negotiate. And we take them through step by step, and then ultimately we'll have a training program as well, which is so exciting. And we want to reform society. We recognize we need to change our culture. And that involves, you know, just speaking to healthcare professionals. We train the National Police Force in supporting them. And ultimately, we can even tribute to 50% of our rescues genuinely to our training that we supply. In the last couple of years in the UK, for example, we've trained over 5,000 individuals, which is exciting. And of the rescued, for example, in the UK, just to give you some figures, that over 350 rescues in the UK in the last 3 years, just part of what we do and our impact. So we are, on one hand, we're smashing it, but on the other hand, we've got a long way to go. But our dream is to live in a world free from slavery. Basically, as my t-shirt says, no more slaves. That is our goal, and we want to get there. And I just want to share with you just a couple of verses, one of which I just read just a few weeks ago, and I love this. In Proverbs 29:18, you'll see it on your screen. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. This is from the Message version. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Just have a look at that for a second. When people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. I believe it is vital for us, the church, to see what God is doing. and to be aware of what it is that God wants for us to do. And that's not to say that, oh, it's all right for certain people. It's God's heart for us to know, I believe. Paul talks about it in the epistles where he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart and your understanding would be opened through a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Do you know? In Isaiah 50, it speaks about how morning by morning he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. It's God's heart for us not to be fumbling and stumbling about, otherwise we're like the chaos that everybody else is in, but to have the light, to be the light of the world, to have the answers. There's also an amazing verse in Acts 2:17, and again, this just follows on. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters, they will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will be dreaming dreams. Wow. Love that verse. Do you know why? Two things. Firstly, it's all inclusive. Doesn't matter if you're young, doesn't matter if you're old. Boys, girls, the whole deal. And the point of it is, the outworking of it, when God pours out his spirit on his flesh, is we're all going to see. We're going to see things that haven't happened yet, whether we're prophesying, whether we're seeing visions, whether we're dreaming dreams. It's all what's yet to happen. Do you see how it's God's heart for us to see and to be men and women that can lead people? Jesus once said that the blind can't lead the blind. That we have that good news. We have that answer. So it's fabulous. And I want to encourage you this morning to dream like that. To dream that God wants me to know what it is that he has for me. Now, I get it. Sometimes it's a journey of faith and we don't absolutely know exactly the details. But in Psalm 37, you know, it's one of my favorite verses. It says, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord and he delights in your going. He loves it. He's got good plans for you, the Bible says. And do you know, I want you to dream like that. I don't know, I was chatting to, I think it was your daughter actually, Gordon, earlier, who's a student of French and Spanish and stuff in our second year. Now, I'm not going to even try to talk French or Spanish because I can't. But I was reading recently of a guy by the name of Louis-Pierre Mullard. I don't know how my French accent is there, but he inspired the Wright brothers. Probably none of you have heard of Louis-Pierre Mullard, but he inspired the Wright brothers, all of whom I'm sure you've heard. They were credited with not just designing, but building and flying the first aircraft, but inspired by a statement that he wrote. And this is what he said, that he exhorted the world to repent of their unbelief in the possibility of human flight. I love what he said. Let me say it again. He exhorted the world to repent in the possibility of human flight. Wow. Do you know, back then, they were all like that. What are you talking about? There's probably all these guys going, yeah, right, get a grip. You're going to fly places. You know, and I know that we're living in his dream, albeit the Wright brothers and what they did. I fly about every day in a helicopter. It's just my everyday. But I'm living in his experience. I'm living in his dream. He saw something ahead of time. And I also think, as a hope for justice, we see a world where there are no slaves, where every man, woman, and child has a free and a free and an open way to just live their life as God would have it. That's our dream. Some would say, oh, that's a big bit too much. Well, do you know something? God says nothing is impossible to those who believe. I think big dreams honor God because we have a big God, don't we? And our dreams, and I actually believe that God doesn't want us just to believe that he's a big God. I believe God wants us to live like he's a big God. What do you think? He doesn't want us just to believe in it. So yeah, so that's why we are making a difference, and we're smashing things right, left, and center when it comes to bringing freedom to slaves. But we've got a long way to go. Let me just, I want to share with you just quickly 3 points. I know time's been tight, but I just have 3 things that God's massively blown me away with. And it's in relation to a story in the Bible you'll all be super familiar with. When Moses was commissioned by God to bring freedom to over 2 million people in the Old Testament, his people who were bound in slavery, and his heart was to bring them freedom. Let me just bring you quickly up to speed with this commissioning. It's in Exodus chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 1 through 7. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the high priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And then the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who were in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Three things I want to quickly tell you what God has shown me in this verse that I think is still relevant today and was significant in bringing freedom to all these people. The first thing is, I believe God wants us to walk in the or see the supernatural of God in our everyday experiences. God wants us, let me just say that again, he wants us to experience the supernatural things of God in our everyday experience. Moses was tending Jethro's, his father-in-law's sheep. That was his everyday. He was out in the desert, and it probably wouldn't have been a big deal to see a bush on fire, because in the desert, you know, it's what happened, potentially, with combustion and so on. But the thing about this bush is, as you said, or as you heard, it wasn't burning up. So it got his attention, and thus the journey began. There is a supernatural... Now, okay, you'll be thinking, okay, Craig, we're not going to see burning bushes. I know we had a good summer, but it's not likely, you know. But I actually believe the deeper meaning is that God wants us to see him. I believe God is actually far closer. Throughout the scripture, I read more and more of how near God is to us, how close he is. And he wants us to see all the sort of supernatural aspects so that we can be men and women of impact and influence, that we can have that supernatural anointing in our lives. Let me tell you just a quick story as a paramedic. It gives you a little kind of glance into this and how I see it working for me. About not that long ago, I took a patient who was dying of a heart attack. He was critically ill to hospital. And whilst I was taking him in, I was praying that he wouldn't die, as I do typically with all my patients. And on the way, I had this kind of momentary little glance of this particular guy sitting drinking tea. And I knew at that moment, oh, awesome, he's not going to die. It was like a little picture, and it's just partly the way, you know, the Bible said, as we've read earlier, that your young men will have visions. Still in the young category, come on. I still get some dreams occasionally as well. Don't know, but hey-ho. But I had this vision. I just saw him drinking tea, and I thought, awesome, no, he's not going to die. So we hand him over, we take him in, he has all his surgery and so on, and the next morning, we're in the brief, same crew, pilot and my colleague, my other colleague, paramedic. And the pilot said at the end of the weather brief and so on, how do you think that guy got on that we took into hospital yesterday? And before I batted an eyelid, I just said, oh, he's totally fine. My colleague said to me, how do you know? And I said, oh, I've seen him drinking tea. And then they're thinking, how's that working? Because we flew him in at that side of the country. We finished 8 o'clock last night, and it's, what, just 7:30 just now? You know what I mean? Were you over in Glasgow, Craig, you know? And I says, well, actually, do you know when you said to me, do you pray for your patients? Did I tell you that? No, I forgot to tell you that. So once we'd flown the patient in, my colleague said to me, do you ever pray for your patients? I said, oh, yeah, all the time, pray for them all. But definitely for that guy. He was like, ooh, you know, close. And so anyway, I said, remember when you asked me, do you pray for your patients? And she said, yeah. I says, well, sometimes, you know, I hear God speak to me, and he gave me this picture of him drinking tea. So I knew he was going to be fine, so yeah. So at that point, the pilot and the paramedic just kind of looked at each other and thought, mm-hmm. Okay, we're a bit worried now, Craig. Why don't we just go and phone the department? Because that's probably a little easier. So they were kind of feeling a bit like, yeah, you've lost it a little bit. We knew you were a Christian, but that's just sounding a bit nuts. They went and they phoned the department. They spoke to a specific nurse. They got through. They said who they were, and they said, they got to the girl who was taking care of the patient that we'd flown in and said, I've just spoken to him. He's actually recovered very, very well. In fact, I've just seen him. He's sitting up drinking tea. It's seeing the supernatural in the everyday experiences. Now, it's awesome, isn't it? God healed them, and we were able to get them there and stuff. But it was that fact that God, aside of time, outside of time, it's like what was said in Psalm 37, he orders the steps of the righteous. He delights in their going. He's got plans for us. He wants us to be men and women of impact, of influence, as I keep saying. I often pray on my way to work, Lord, your word says that in the way of righteousness there is life, and in their path there is no death. The Bible actually says as a sign of those who believe that you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You don't even need to pray for them. You know what? You talked about that tagging. Somebody talked about that tagging. See, when you touch someone, that presence of God that's in you, that anointing of the Holy Spirit, expect that exchange because that's what happens. In fact, the Bible says you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So I do that and I see this happening. Amazing, isn't it? The second thing I want you to see. It's interesting, isn't it? Let me just come and get my notes. God didn't talk to Moses until Moses stopped to look. Let's read in verse 4. If we go to verse 4, it says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I believe it's vital that we look. Sometimes. Now, none of us really especially want to look at this. This is horrible. The reality of seeing people in that kind of level of exploitation and suffering, we don't want to see it. We don't even want to believe that it's in our country. But sometimes it's important for us as God's children to see what's happening. And it's in seeing what's happening, I believe often the Holy Spirit talks to us. I've got a slide, actually, if we could chuck it on. It's of the map of Scotland. Hannah, if you're able to do that for me. It doesn't matter if you don't see it. Basically, is it there? Awesome. Basically, as you can see, there's virtually nowhere in Scotland that's not been identified where there have been victims of human trafficking. That's our nation. It's horrible. It's horrendous, isn't it? We need to see. And in seeing, I believe God will speak to us. Because God didn't speak to Moses until Moses stopped to look. It's in seeing what's happening. It's in seeing what God is doing. It's in seeing the supernatural things where I believe God puts, you know, things in our path and people that we can connect with, that things begin to change. The third point I want to tell you is God says, and I think it's verse 7, I heard their cry. Let me just read verse 7. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I believe it's vital that we recognize that there's a cry, and God responds to that cry. And I believe there is a cry that's been heard from our own nation and throughout the world of those that are suffering. And let me just tell you just one quick story. I showed you a picture of my family earlier. My youngest daughter, Jenna, when she was born, we described her as our emotional child. That's Jenna on the far left. She was by far the most emotional in our family. She had a contagious, hearty laugh, which was fabulous, but she equally used to cry, like, all the time. And I used to be like, what is wrong with you? You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes it was just because her socks weren't comfy or, you know, we'd later discover or little things, but it was a wee challenge for us in the first instance. And we're thinking, what's wrong, Jenna? You're crying all the time. So this one day, beautiful blue sky, toys around the garden were, you know, it couldn't have been any better, or so I thought, until I hear Jenna crying. I'm thinking, no way. So I didn't respond in the first place. I sort of felt a bit numb to it because it was happening so often. And I didn't get up. And the Holy Spirit said something to me that I'll never, ever forget. He said to me, if you don't respond to the cries of your daughter now at this age, then she won't run to me should she cry when she's older. And I was like, oh my gosh. It hit me like a train. And I was like, dropped whatever it was I was doing, which wasn't even that important, ran, picked up Jenna, kissed her, hugged her, all that jazz. And it was a nothing. You know, she was fine in seconds, wanted me to let her go. But The big deal was that I learned in that moment. Now, I knew it's a massive privilege we have as parents and our responsibility to model the heart of God and the love that he has, that he cares for our every need, that his heart is to, you know, every tiny detail, we've probably heard it through church spoken, that his heart is for us and he cares about every detail. He knows every number of hairs on our head and all that kind of stuff. But if we don't see it modeled sometimes, then effectively they have a challenge later in life believing it, because they're thinking, are you sure God really loves me? Do you know what I mean? Do you know? And maybe some of you struggle in that context. Let me assure you, God is love and he loves you. And his heart is, he is near to you. He is near to, he says, a smoldering wick or a bruised reed, I will not either snuff out or I will not break. His heart is so gentle, tender-hearted, and full of loving mercy. That is the heart of our God. So I get it on another level. And since that day, that responsibility as a father to love my children. But equally, I believe as a church, we have a responsibility to love the world and to hear those, you know, if there is a cry in the world, which there definitely is, you've probably heard about it through the media to some degree, of human slavery or human trafficking and so on, but to not hear it or to not respond, why would they necessarily believe that there's a God who loves them? If his own church wouldn't necessarily respond to it. And I'm going to show you there are some little ways if you want to. I'm not saying that to manipulate you, but I'm just saying it because the truth is God calls us to be the hands and feet, doesn't he? To be the light, to be his love, and to respond even in these dark circumstances. You know how there's the parables of the Good Samaritan and all the rest. I know you know all that. So, yeah, I just want to encourage you. If you see something and you hear him, if you hear something, it is the heart of God that we would be his hands and feet, that we would be his church and make a difference. Let me just finish by, if we could put the film on. This is an amazing four-minute film of a victim, a survivor, in fact, of human trafficking. And it's just let's have a look at it, and then I'll come back up and show you just a couple of ways that you can get involved if you want to.
We all dream of giving more to our children, of raising them in love and freedom. For many parents living in poverty, that dream is cruelly exploited by traffickers.
New life. I was prepared to do anything for her so that she wouldn't go without. God forbid. Not like my parents treated me.
Natasha was abused by her own parents. She was determined to build a different life for her daughter, a life of love, safety, and hope. But she struggled to find work in her home country.
I was offered a chance of work in Germany for 3 months to make some money. But I ended up in Amsterdam. They beat me, making sure that the bruises didn't show when I went to work.
Natasha was trafficked for sex across Europe for 5 years. Desperate to get back to her daughter, she risked her life to escape. Returning home, she discovered that her own mother had trafficked her.
The thing that upset me the most was that she knew I was trying to provide for my daughter.
Natasha still would not abandon her dreams for her daughter, so she seized a new opportunity of work in the UK.
When I arrived in the UK, they took our passports. If you refuse to go to work, you will end up in the streets, beaten.
Natasha was forced to work on her feet day after day after day for 8 years.
It was terrifying sleeping at night. Sometimes they would smash down the door of our room in the middle of the night. He would use a baseball bat. Every day I thought about how I could escape with my bones intact.
There are 13,000 victims of modern slavery in the UK tonight. Hope for Justice exists to bring an end to modern slavery by rescuing victims, restoring lives, and reforming society.
I am free today because someone decided to support Hope for Justice. They have given me so much genuine and real support. They appeared in my life like a guardian angel from the skies.
Since we rescued her, Natasha is rebuilding her life. She is back in touch with her daughter, and she has found a faith in God that gives her strength.
I know now that God exists, and there are good people in the world. I always have hope that in the future, everything will be okay. I never look back.
Hope for Justice have rescued hundreds of people here in the UK, but those who are still trapped need someone like you to be their guardian. A guardian sets free, speaks out, stands up, defends, protects, restores. That is what it means to be a guardian. Become a guardian today and fulfill their dream of freedom.
Awesome. I'm sure, like me, you're sickened by stories like that, but can rejoice with us for every single person that we've been able to rescue. If you want to get involved, then I would love to show you. There are simple ways. You can pray in the first place. You can sign up and become part of a church that is more informed around what we are doing as a and I just want to honor the Elam Church, actually, because their heart has really been awesome. Ultimately, there is one church. It is his church. But the Elam Church and the denomination has been so open in their heart to bring freedom and restoration. I don't know if many of you were down in Harrogate, but I'm sure if you were, you would have met Ben Cooley, my boss, the CEO of Hope for Justice. So, yeah, it's a real honor to stand with the Elam together. Together we're stronger. Together we can make an impact. And as you saw in that film there, if you want to become a guardian, then there are forums that I would happily help you fill in if you'd like to. In fact, if you would sign one tonight, or today rather, we can give you a book, Ben Cooley's book, Impossible is a Dare, Dare to Believe. And it's an amazing, actually, a story of how he got to where he did. And so let me just leave you with this picture, this vision, if you can. If you can see it, you'll probably see it on the slide. It's a symbol of freedom that we have in our main headquarters in Manchester. Every victim that we rescue, we write the name of that victim on a padlock. And we hang that padlock on what we call our freedom wall. And we celebrate what we want to replicate. In other words, every single life that we rescue, we celebrate and we remember, and we are honored before God to show him our commitment to bringing freedom to those that are held captive. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Powerful, practical, spiritual. A challenge for us, isn't it? These things happen in our nation, happening around about us. But together, we can make a huge, huge difference. Craig, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing the Father's heart for people, you know, and I am pleased and thrilled that we as church are more and more being on the front, more and more being out there, more and more being mobilized and reaching folks through the ministries that we run and the opportunities that we bring across our Sundays and through our week as well. So guys, if you're passionate about that, if it's touched your heart this morning, you're like, I need to know more, please see Craig at the end. Just as the worship team maybe come back and join us, going to sing one song as we close and move out this morning. It just Winifred had during the service sent me a text, but that's all right. She sent that just this picture from God, as Craig was speaking about pictures of moments where God drops a thought or an image into our head with a now word for him or for us at that. And Winifred had submit before us and felt she'd had this picture and maybe beginning to see in our skies geese beginning to fly in that V formation, beginning to migrate and to head south. Now, that's not a word to migrate and head south that's coming away, but just the flight of geese, they always travel in a V-shaped format as they take the turn to lead. They help one another. The Father wants us to help one another by prayer, care, help, and support. And just leave that with you. Perhaps the Lord's challenging you, stirring you, mobilizing you to be involved in the various ways that we've heard today and the various ministries that's been laid before you today and opportunities that's there. So let's stand and we will pray. Father, we stand before you in your presence as your dearly loved children. Father, we thank you for that very title that we can claim to be dearly loved children by the living God. Father, you don't just rescue us and save us so that we can be spiritually fat and happy. Having we closed times of bless me, bless you, bless God. Lord, you cause us to shine your light in the darkness. Lord, you cause us to recognize that there is a real world that's out there in a world that is hurting, a world that is far from you. A world, Lord, where there are people tonight who are living in fear and living in terror and living some with addictions, some without hope, some in slavery. Lord, you call us to be agents of change. Lord, you call us to shine your light in the darkness. Lord, you call us, as we've heard this morning, to be eyes open, ears open, and responsive to your word. And Father, I pray that for all that Craig has shared with us this morning, Lord, that we would be a people who respond. That we would be a people